Attention Austin guitarist, are you having problems with your pedals? Have you ever wanted a custom built pedal? Well, I have the guy for you. That's Paul English at English Electronics. His pedals have been used by Charlie Sexton, Billy Harvey, and more. I use the English Electronics 4049 as my main boost and crunch pedal, and I love it. It gives my tone warmth while packing the punch I need. You can visit English Electronics East Austin shop by appointment only. Call them at 512-633-5106 or go to English Electronics on Facebook. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend. I've had a pretty good weekend. I'm actually doing this on Sunday afternoon before I go out to play a wedding at Star Hill Ranch. I'm actually playing Casey Crowley's wedding. You know the artist Casey Crowley. Skyrocket's playing her wedding out at Star Hill Ranch, which is like this little Western movie set. It's like a little street that's all little Western, you know, places. And they're fully functional. They're not just like facades. They're actually functioning rooms and stuff. Anyway, we're playing that wedding out there, and I'm looking forward to it. I love Casey. I hope that she has a great time today. I have a great show for you guys today. Nico Sanchez and Eric Bohorquez from the band Superfónicos are here. Their brand new EP Suelta drops this Friday, October 5th, and they will be playing on Sunday, October 14th at Austin City Limits Music Festival at 12:15 in the afternoon. Go to superfónicos.com for all of your Superfónicos needs. Nico and Eric and I have a great conversation. They're actually they're part of the artist development program at Austin Music Foundation, which I'm involved with, and I get to meet with them all the time. In fact, I'm meeting with them very early tomorrow morning. We're having an artist development program meeting. And gang, I want to fill you in on this. On Sunday, October 14th, at Austin City Limits Music Fest, not only will Superfónicos be playing at 12:15 in the afternoon, but I will be interviewing them at 2:15 in the afternoon. I'll let you know where that's going on. I'm actually doing this Saturday, October 6th, I'm doing Jackie Venson from 4:30 to 5. I'll let you know where that is. Follow us on Facebook. Go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. Anyway, Nico and Eric and I have a great conversation. Their new EP, Suelta, is absolutely fantastic. It is an Afro-Colombian funk extravaganza for the soul. You can quote me on that. Yeah, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Nico and Eric. They're fantastic artists, fantastic dudes. I had a great time getting to know them. I'm sure you will too. Let's get down. Suelta is awesome. Great job.
Oh, thank you.
Who produced it? You guys did?
Self-produced. We recorded the actual track,
Suelta. At Adrian's
place? We recorded that track at Beto Martinez's place.
Oh, the actual song?
At Leche
House. I meant
the
EP.
So we did four songs
with
Beto.
Okay.
And then two songs with Adrian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Suelta was one of the songs that we did with Beto.
Are you guys, are part of that family? Of the, like that family, the Money Chicha, Brownout.
Definitely.
Like, you know.
I think we're like the distant kid. Cousin.
Yeah. But like, that's like a, I mean, there's like a whole, none of the guys are in your band.
No.
That's what separates you from the other ones.
They're very much like our musical older brothers in town. And it felt cool to like kind of get brought into that circle.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, these dudes have been grinding for, 15 years plus?
Yeah,
more. I remember moving to Austin, and one of the first shows I saw was a Grupo Fantasma show at the Parish. And I remember being like, damn, I want to play with these guys someday.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've played with them and, you know, and they're working on our records and we're working together on stuff. So, yeah, it's really cool to be part of the family.
Yeah. No, I know they're fans. Of when I did a gig with Alex Marrero like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, yeah. He was asking me, you know, what all I've been up to. And I was like, oh, I've been working with Awesome Music Foundation. And I was like, oh, you know, Superphonicos. It's like, oh, yeah, man. I think he said they're like family. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, our singer Jaime, when he moved to town, he was like, man, I want to take some vocal lessons from Alex because he can freaking wail.
Yeah.
Some of that like Aussie stuff he does is like, insane. And he gets those notes and he's like, man, I need to sit with him and like pick his brain on some vocal techniques and stuff.
He was on drums on this gig.
Oh yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal drummer.
Yeah, he can do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he's unbelievable. You play guitar, right?
I play guitar, yeah.
So you guys are the founders of the band.
Pretty much, yeah. Me, Eric, and then my brother, Daniel, is a drummer, and another dude named Andres on guitar, kind of all came together around the same time and kind of had this idea to do a band that was more focused on like Afro-Colombian rhythms, which there's a lot of like cumbia, there's a lot of like Latin funk going on in town, but we wanted to kind of differentiate ourselves a little bit and like really dig deep into the Afro-Colombian stuff, which is kind of hadn't been done a whole lot here in Austin or Texas in general.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's sort of a modern approach, like you said, one step in the past and one step into the
totally
future.
Yeah.
And you know, all of our influences that we have that we all bring to the table, you know, blues. I bring a lot of blues.
Yeah. What's your story?
I just love the blues and, you know,
well, so you, but you grew up in Houston.
I grew up in Houston.
In the Greens Point area.
Yeah. The Guns Point area there. Kind of near. And then,
did you have bands like in high school? You're like a rock dude?
No, never, never. Oh. Actually, my first band was a reggae group here in Austin called Don Shawnee. Back in the day, now was where we got Nico, and that's where I met Nico.
I moved to town in what was that? That would have been 07. Probably met this dude in 08. So we've been playing together for a while now.
Wow, that's awesome.
And
it's a decade of togetherness.
Oh, for sure.
We had a mutual friend who's in another band called Grimy Styles. And he knew I moved to town. And he was like, hey, this reggae band needs a bass player. And he knew that I played in reggae bands in Dallas. So he was like, man, go try out, you know? And so he like got me in touch with the drummer and we met up and it was a little rehearsal tryout situation over at his place. And I showed up and I start seeing like all the like same stuff on the walls that I see at my parents' house, like the little the little casitas on the wall with the little
same saints,
the little clay roof thingies, and there was this big giant picture book that said "This is Colombia" or something on the coffee table. I'm like, you Colombian? You're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah,
I knew. Like, I knew. All right. I knew from the first note.
It's gonna be cool
because we played this song called we did on reggae style, a Buena Vista Social Club song called El Cuarto de Tula.
Yeah,
and
se cogió candela.
Yeah,
se quedó dormida y no apagó la vela. Yeah, I love that song, dude.
And then and we did it reggae style, and as soon as he played it, I was like, oh yeah, this guy, this is our bass player.
What were you doing in Dallas before you moved here? What was your... Where are you from, Dallas?
Grew up in Dallas. My family's from Bogota. Mm-hmm. They moved to Dallas in like 1980 or so.
Why?
A lot of it was just lack of opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the reason a lot of...
The reason people moved to America.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. My dad had a degree and couldn't find a job anywhere.
Yeah.
And tried for, you know, the better part of a year.
What was his degree in?
I think his degree was in marketing, but he couldn't find anything, you know?
Yeah.
So he moved to
the cartels. Didn't need any marketing executives.
No, they sure didn't.
I'm just joking.
So he moved to Garland, Texas, of all places.
Oh yeah.
And so I was born in Garland in 1983, and I grew up a reluctant rocker. Like all my friends were like into, you know, Dallas, so it's like Pantera and
yeah,
Deftones, heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I picked up the bass because my brother picked up guitar. So I was like, well, cool, I'll play bass since he's playing guitar already. And, you know, I would like learn rock stuff, but like it never interested me. Like the bass never interested me that much in rock music because, mm-hmm. you know. So I started getting into funk and I was like, okay, I can deal with this yeah. kind of like funkier, you know, it's a little more like labor intensive for the bass player. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I want to try that. So I started doing like the whole slap and pop thing, all that stuff. And then my older brother was like, yeah, you're pretty good at that, but what else can you do? So then I was like, oh yeah, all right, I guess I gotta, you know, dig a little deeper. So then I got into reggae and salsa and cumbia, like the stuff my parents were listening to. And I wanted to like put a band together like that. But
how old were you?
At that time, probably like 15 or 16.
Then what was going, that was like 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it was like Limp Bizkit and stuff like that.
Totally,
and you're like the only 15-year-old running around going like, hey, let's start a Latin band.
Hey, you guys know what the clave is?
Yeah.
Like, clave. Like, I think my first band had a DJ, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it was starting to get into that.
Yeah, yeah. It was totally like the nu metal era.
Yeah. Yeah. And a singer and a rapper?
Totally, yeah. I think the singer was the rapper. Okay. It was kind of wore two hats.
So were you guys playing out and stuff in Dallas?
Yeah, yeah, we'd play out, and it was cool, man. I've been playing in bands since I was 15, 16. I remember my first show was at the Galaxy Club.
Oh, yeah.
In
I love
Dallas.
That place. Yeah.
And I had to get permission from my parents to play there. Like, like they had to speak to the club owners and stuff. Like, yeah, it's cool for him to be here. Well, Marcus Hand's real big with the net, you know, like that kind of thing.
So did you go to school or something there too?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Went to high school in Garland at Neyman Forest High,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much got out of town as quick as I could.
Yeah, where'd you go here?
I moved here when I was like 22 or so.
Okay,
yeah.
When did you move here?
97.
Oh yeah,
but my story's a little different in
what
the
happened?
Musical
Tell me.
Realm.
Yeah.
Of things, I was the guitar player, so you know. I went heavy metal first. Yeah,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So I went big on Pantera and Metallica, yeah. of course, and all that, you know, and Sepultura, and went really deep with that for a long time. And then my sister's friend, 8 years older, said, hey, you're okay, you can play some stuff, but you need to learn this. And he gave me this Access Bold as Love.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And he said, you know, learn Bold as Love or whatever. And I was like, okay. I was like, but this kind of sounds to me like when I heard it. And he was like, what do you think? And I was like, well, Jimi Hendrix kind of sounds sloppy and like broken. I just don't get it, you know? And then he said, learn one song. That's the song I picked. And then it was so hard to learn. I was like, oh my God, this guy's incredible. And then from there, I went like blues. I completely separated myself from that. And I just went straight to blues music for a long time.
Did you go back? Is that like, did you discover Hendrix? Like, oh, where did he learn this? And like, all of a sudden, you're like B.B. King, and then like the Three Kings,
Oh yeah, I definitely went. Yeah, Johnny Hooker.
Yeah.
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters. I was just like, okay, you know, whenever you could buy. Oh no! When you'd get in trouble for like getting this thing, and said you can get 15 CDs for a penny or something. And then your
just
parents...
Just pay $10 shipping on all of them.
Oh, my God. My parents would be so pissed. They'd be like, they get a payment, like, some bill, and the thing is like, well, they said it was, you know...
Yeah.
And I'd get all these CDs.
Yeah.
That's how I, like, collect... I got my stack of CDs.
Yeah. The Columbia Record Club. That's what it was. Yeah. They, I got Cheap Trick live at Budokan and what's the Bad Company album with It's All Part of My Rock and Roll Fantasy. Yeah. So whenever those records came out, 1979, summer 79, down the street from my grandma's house, I had an uncle that's 4 years older than me. So I must have been like 10, so he was like 14. And he was like, hey, my friend Brian Meager, whose name I'll never forget, he lives down the street. He sells those. He gets those records, the 20 records, and then he sells them for $5 each. And I was like, oh, so we can get like, you know, a few dollars off. You know, we were getting a deal.
Yeah. Wow.
So we had to go to this kid's room, and it was all weird. He
that
smelled bad.
Smart.
He was like this weird 16-year-old
underground record
dealer.
Store. That's cool.
Where is this guy now?
I don't know. I asked my uncle recently. I was like, does he still live down the street? And he was like, no, I don't know where they moved. I was like, I'd like to see that guy again.
Yeah.
What's going on with him? What's he dealing now?
Right.
So you just, were you just like in your room playing?
Yeah, I was just in my room playing. My cousin and I would teach each other things. I'd play in like little parties and things, but nothing of like
out
playing
right.
live or anything until I got to Austin.
How old were you when you got here?
18.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was nothing until I got here. And then I was like, okay, well, we're in this musical place. And
What brought you here?
UT.
UT?
I went to UT, graduated here, went 4 years.
Where'd you graduate?
Spanish and music.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, that works out perfectly for you. Yeah. That literally is perfect for what you do.
Yeah, it is. It is, really.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
I don't hear that a lot.
Yeah, Spanish and música.
Sí. So. We play Spanish music. Yeah. What brought you to Austin? Why did you come to Austin, Nico?
My girlfriend at the time graduated from UNT. She's now my wife.
Wow, congratulations.
So she graduated in, what would that have been, like winter of 06. So she moved here to kind of like, she moved back in with her folks to like kind of, you know, take a couple months off and kind of figure out her next move. And then I was like, don't do that. Let's just get a place together in Austin. And I was like, yes, finally going to make it to Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And been here ever since.
Did you work when you came here?
Actually, you know what? Like my anchor
yeah.
to coming to Austin yeah. was I got a gig at Waterloo Records.
Awesome.
Which I'm still there. I'm still there kind of like, you know, when I'm not doing the music thing, I'm over at Waterloo.
Did you work with Benjamin Hotchkiss?
Don't know Benjamin.
Okay, I'm in a band with him. He must have left right before you started.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say my first day at Waterloo Records, Iggy Pop in store.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, okay, this is going to be a cool
Wow.
This is going to be like, a cool job.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that must be fun working there.
It is cool. Yeah, it really is.
I mean, it's kind of like, there's a couple of other ones. There's like Amoeba, but that's really like...
It's one of the top
indie
record stores in the nation, that's
indie,
for sure.
It's like...
I mean, it's...
What's left of them, it's still going.
The big box stores are gone,
yeah.
So it's like indies are all that's left.
When I go in there, I'm always like, if you gauge the music business... By going in there, you'd be like, man, everything's fine.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's always people in there buying things.
Yeah. I'm always in there bothering Nico.
my
lunch breaks and whatever.
Where do you work?
I work for Mood Media.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I do the music playlists for brands.
Yeah.
So
that's
I'm,
pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know who I like is Brad Bond.
Oh, Brad Bond is awesome.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
That guy's killer.
Super talented.
And a great artist.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did my poster.
I saw that. I know. He has it up in his office.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Cool.
He did a really cool poster for us maybe about a year ago. It was super nice.
I saw it up at 1:1 when
yeah.
the when I went for the Austin Music Foundation, the publishing.
Oh, right.
Deal.
I missed that one with Danny and all those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys get together in the reggae band, and how do you figure out you're going to do this? Like, how did that happen? How do you figure out your...
We kind of always had a like Latin tinge to a lot of the reggae stuff, like he was saying. We
what did was that, the band? The,
Don Chani was the name of the band.
I don't think I ever saw you guys.
And we would say it was roots, reggae, Latin, dub.
Oh,
so there was definitely like a cumbia element in there too. Like we do, like we did that Buena Vista cover
right.
In a reggae style. And there were some other tunes that were like very cumbia.
Ayúdame.
Ayúdame. Mm-hmm. There were some other tunes in there. So that was always kind of something that we were like, man, it'd be kind of neat to do a band that just focused more on that. And then it just, you know, naturally kind of progressed into that.
So how does the writing work? Is it you guys who, how does that work?
It's kind of the situation to where like somebody will come in with an idea that's pretty well established, and then the rest of the guys will kind of, you know, polish it. Give it a little shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's been working. We're kind of starting to kind of work on some more tunes that are a little more like everybody put in their part. But for the most part, it's kind of right now, like I'll come in with something that's like 90%
done,
fleshed out. Right. And then, or like Jaime will come in with something, Eric will come in with something, and we just kind of add the little bits to connect. Or you know how it goes. You like, you start playing a song and then after 2 months, it's like, you know what? This bridge kind of sucks. Let's do this instead or something. And you know, or somebody will be like, hey, this little horn line. Hey, what was that?
It would help. Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. What were you doing there? I don't know. I was just messing around. Oh, let's do that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think you guys are awesome. I feel bad. I played yesterday before you guys. But like way before you guys.
Okay.
I played at like 1:30 or something.
I saw that.
How was your set?
It was good.
Yeah.
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 It's always funny playing like in a festival thing.
Yeah, it's like, funny to eat, like, you know, some dude walks by with like a giant
corn dog.
Yeah. You're like, that's a ridiculous sized corn dog.
It's always funny at those things too, where it's not people at a show, and like people have their opinions. You know, you'll be walking by something and you'll see something, and you'll go like, ugh. No, you see people do it.
Yeah, that's
me. You see, like, the guy going, like, come on, let's go. I don't like this. Like, you can see him saying that to the lady. And the lady's like, oh, no, wait, I kind of like this. He's like, no, it's terrible. I'll meet you over there.
Yeah,
like,
he
walks off.
That's totally
right. I'll meet you by the kettle
that's
corn.
That's all I see during the shows. I'm always just like, oh, God, what did I do? I hurt that man.
That's
so
awesome.
In the songwriting, how does that, I mean, is that, I've been in situations, but never a band as big as yours. I am in a band as big as yours, I think. It's less people, but it's 7 people, and it's a cover band. And there's one guy that's always like, man, we should be coming. Imagine, we've got all these great songwriters in this band. I'm always like, man, 5 seconds of working on an original song and we will break up. Like, we've been together for for like 17 years.
Yeah.
We would break up in a second if we didn't have a common goal anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, does that go well? I mean, it could be great.
It's very easy.
I think it's worked out really good for us because the foundation is in a lot of these Afro-Colombian rhythms, not just cumbia. There's all these other great rhythms that are relatively unknown here in the States. There's merengue, which is totally different than like the Dominican merengue, poro. There's all kinds of different sounds that are like, well, cool, let's use that as like the backbone of this song. And then, you know, you can really do whatever on top of it and take it to a different place. But, you know, we're like trying to show a different flavor of what Colombia has to offer.
That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, it's cool to take something that's existing and sort of give it a new life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's great.
And to another degree, we really want to kind of like change people's misconceptions about what Colombia is and who Colombian people are and what they're into and what they do, you know?
Yeah.
Like we mentioned growing up, getting a lot of like, you know,
sure.
Oh, is your uncle a drug dealer? Right, kind of stuff. And we're like, if you're focusing just on the like Narcos and the whole like Pablo Escobar thing, you know, you're missing a whole lot of what Colombia has to offer.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a big part of what we're trying to do, is show the United States that that's not what Colombia is.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
It's totally different. It's a beautiful place and beautiful people and positive. They have such a positive spirit about them, and just overcoming so many struggles, and just they live a different way.
Yeah.
You know, because of, I think, how hard it's been.
Well, also, I think what happens, too, in the Latin American countries that have had political unrest like that, the infrastructure is just not there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just from roads getting taken care of to healthcare to, like, groceries. I mean, you guys are in a completely different situation than, like, Venezuela is. But, like, you know, people are running out of that, literally running on their feet out of that to get the fuck out of there.
They're going into Colombia right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a whole thing on Vice about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very intense and very, it's tough because those are, I mean, they're all our people. You know what I mean? I mean, I might be Cuban, you guys might be Colombian, but we're all together
in
this thing.
We're all one.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's sad to see that go down. But it you know, people's misconceptions, I mean, you know, that's going to happen. But anyway, aside from that, you guys, do you guys tour?
We have yet to embark on a large tour. It is a lot of dudes. A lot of us have families.
Yeah.
So it's a little difficult right now, but the plan for 2019 is to get some touring under our belt
for
sure. Next
summer, we're planning one.
We've all been in other bands that have done tours and stuff, so it's like...
Well, it also seems like you've got a good idea of what's going on. You've got, like, you're in a position where... you have some really good things going on, and I think this record is kind of poised to take another step for you guys. Does that seem like that for you? It does
sure.
to me. Just kind of like reading all this stuff and kind of like learning where you're at from our ADP sessions and stuff. I feel like I get a good idea of you can kind of see a band's like ascending in an ascending phase.
I feel like something's popping and it's happening in the way it should, and it's not happening too fast. Which we don't want.
You guys are doing ACL, and then the next weekend you're doing Formula One. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. October's shaping up to be a cool month.
Yeah. Is the Empire Control Room show, is that like a release show for you guys?
It's actually I think the theme of the show is called Si Se Puede. So it's kind of like a get out the vote event.
Get Beto in there.
Yeah, it's kind of like really just make sure people are like registered to vote for one, and also just really inform people about how important this election cycle is coming up.
Yeah, it's really important.
It is.
You guys did you guys do a Beto fundraiser?
We did. Yeah. We did a Beto event last month.
Yeah,
it was great. That was great.
Yeah,
was he nice? I saw the picture of you guys with them.
They were. It was awesome because the first, you know, I've seen shows there and we never played there, but
that's a good room for you guys. That's like a good, that's where I'd want to see you guys on that stage.
That place is great. Yeah. And so I was excited to see like 1600 people in there, like a Snoop Dogg show is what I was saying. I was like, this is like a Snoop Dogg show.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is great. All right. And the energy was awesome. Like, you know, they're, it's just like a good, positive crowd, you know? Like, good people.
People that see hope. It's always exciting. Yeah. Like, it's... I hope he wins. Because to have that feeling continue would be nice.
Yeah.
Because there is a feeling of like, okay, all right, we can get a guy in there that can stand up for our... Not a guy who will be insulted by the president and his wife and his dad and everyone in the world.
Bend over.
and just like, oh, where else do you want to put it? Sir? Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, politically, it's a very strange time to be alive because there's never been, like an emotional terrorist in the White House. Like, those guys, all those guys that didn't like him before, like Lindsey Graham and all these kind of guys, are like, they can't say anything about it because he'll humiliate them publicly.
And they want to keep their jobs and their, you know.
It's
so
sad.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is sad.
It's strange.
It is strange. I wonder what A lot of stuff could change in November.
Yeah.
You know, or in January when they all get sworn into office. But I think I think people are ready for change again. This was a quick one where people are all right, we did that change. Let's go to another one.
Let's go back.
Yeah. I don't know. But
at the very least, we live in interesting times.
Yeah, we do.
At the very least.
We do. What time are you playing Sunday, October 14th at ACL Fest?
12:15.
Good.
12:15, yeah.
I'm playing the Tito's stage.
Oh, nice.
The Tito's. Yeah, that's what the I tent. Was hoping for. Yeah. Yeah, I love that little tent there.
That's my birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, get nice, down man. There.
I want to go down there.
Come celebrate with Superfónicos.
Yeah, dude. Let's bring it on for real.
Yeah.
We'll
hang out.
Yeah.
We'll hang out.
So, suelta, to let go. That's what the message is.
Yes.
That's the theme. Yeah. That's like kind of the when we're thinking, all right, what should we call this EP? It was like, all right, yeah, it's got to be Suelta. That's just kind of encapsulates everything that's going on right now, musically for us, and also just politically as a nation, just like let go of all that baggage and all that hatred and all this stuff that's coming at you from all angles, and really get back to a more like simple way of life and just, you know, we're all people. We're all the same. We don't need the divisiveness, and we don't need...
No, we all want the same stuff.
We all want the same stuff. We all want security for our families.
Yeah.
We want
kids.
To be safe.
Yeah.
We want, you know, to be able to go out and have fun and enjoy ourselves and, you know...
Live our lives.
Yeah, you don't want hatred. You know, nobody wants that.
Contribute to the American experience.
And it's really this thing where, like, if you say something enough, people start to believe it. And that's kind of what's happening right now with
negativity.
The negativity and the rhetoric coming out of Washington is they want you to believe that we're more divided than we really are. Like, I walk down the street and I don't see that. I don't see any of that, at least not in Austin, Texas.
No. Mm-hmm.
I see, you know, interactions with all kinds of races and all kinds of people.
Yeah.
And it's a very positive situation, but that's not what you get from the media. So it's like, if people need to just put the phones down, turn the TV off, turn the news off, go outside, talk to your neighbors, talk to people, and you'll figure out that we're not as divided as they want to make it seem.
That's a good point, because during Hurricane Harvey, when my parents lost their home there, so we spent a week there, like tearing apart and just gutting out their house. But during that time, through all this political craziness, I saw firsthand people coming together, like in love and like goodness. So I was like, man, it gave me a lot of hope, because there's more good than what people.
Yes,
we're not so divided.
True. No.
But that's how it's played out. Well, it's played out like that, I feel like.
Oh, it is. There was a time, and I mean this across the board, like CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, all of those people. When I was a kid, and probably when you guys were a kid, you watched the news, a guy came on and told you what happened that day.
Yeah.
Like, Peter Jennings and Tom Brokaw never rolled their eyes. Literally, like, oh, you're never going to believe what he said today. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not a way to approach. But these guys are selling, they're trying to sell ads 24 hours a day on a news station. And there's no other way to do it except for they all kind of realize, like, oh, we have an audience that wants to hear us say this.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll say.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's no difference between Fox and MSNBC. Just they're on different sides.
Yeah, it's all theater.
Yeah, it's theater. It's TV.
It is.
Who else is playing the thing on at the Empire Control Room?
El Dusty and who else is on that?
That's okay. I was just.
Yeah, I know El Dusty for sure is on that.
Who else is on that? Who else is on that ACL Fest with you guys? Metallica, Childish Gambino. No, it's Childish Gambino on Sunday, right?
Yes. Yeah. Paul McCartney on Friday, though, so that's cool.
How cool. You're on a poster.
That's pretty cool.
Dude, like, I can't even begin to tell you how cool I think that is. Like,
oh, that's great, yeah. I love it.
Even if you don't even see him, like, just like...
I know, oh, yeah.
I'm doing this show, it's like, you know, Metallica and McCartney. And,
we can technically say we opened up for Paul McCartney.
Yeah,
sort of.
But you were on the same show.
It's not a lie.
Yeah, we could say we were on the same
bill.
Show.
Yeah, we're on the same bill.
That's not a lie.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, that's an amazing thing. And ACL is such a huge festival. Do you have any? I mean, are you gonna do something? I mean, outside of just play a great show, obviously. Is there any? I don't know. Are you gonna wear a headdress? I don't know.
Oh,
I don't
know. We're thinking you have to come out to. To get the full experience, but there's always surprises. Okay. There'll be some surprises.
There'll be something for sure.
There'll be surprises.
And people will be able to get the album October 5th that way.
Yes.
That way when they get to the show, they'll already know the songs.
They'll know them all. They'll be screaming.
It really is a great, it's a great EP.
Thank you.
It really is, man. I love it. And I think you guys are great. And I'm really glad we're getting to work together with the ADP thing.
Yeah, it's been awesome so far.
Good. It was fun. The other day we had a it's weird to bring in a country singer like nobody was in his world. You know, no one that was there that day was in his world.
But I think he's respected enough though to where people when he speaks you listen, cuz he's been around and he's got stories to tell and
He's a nice man. Bruce Robeson came and spoke to the people there. All of us actually. I always get something from talking to him. Really. Is there anything I'm missing, guys?
Man, I mean, you know, this is...
Nick, it's so serious. What? I don't know.
Well, I mean...
Is there stuff?
I mean,
this is a podcast, so you can't see how handsome we are, but maybe if you could put pictures of us on there somewhere.
No, we're going to take a picture afterwards.
Okay. Cool.
That'll get people to listen to it.
That's pretty much
it.
That'll get some perspective.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, you guys are handsome. You look cool. You're in a cool fucking band. That's all you really need these days. How many kids do you have?
Just one. Yeah, we're like debating whether or not to have a second one, but this dude's a handful.
How old is he?
He's two.
Does he like the music?
Oh my god, he loves it.
That's awesome.
He was at the show yesterday, and he loves it.
That
so
is
much.
Awesome.
He loves Suelta. That's his favorite song.
Oh, it is.
How does he say it?
He'll go Suelta, acompáñame, Suelta, which isn't that's not the right lyric, but that's his version of it.
That's awesome. And so your family's come out. Are you married, Nick?
No, I'm single. But I have a
Nick Eric. Sorry,
actually, I'm not. Eric. I have a new girlfriend.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Nice smile.
And but I have a 9-year-old son.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
How does he like Suelta?
He loves it. Yeah? He loves the band.
Yeah,
he loves
that's cool.
Superfónicos, and he'll look it up at school, like when they have their little time to go on the
Schiller's and Friends. That's cool.
Yeah, he's just like looking it all up.
He's here in town.
Yeah, he's in town. So
it's
he
funny.
Loves it.
It's funny because like in the Woodlands, there was one kid whose dad was in a band, but he wasn't trying, he was just a cover band, like having fun with his friends on the weekend kind of band. But like here, there's like where Einar's son goes to school, David Sanger, the drummer from Asleep at the Wheel's son goes to school there, Jason Reese, one of the guys from the Trail of Dead's kid goes there, and they have a dad band that plays at the school.
Like, awesome.
It's just so, Austin's so cool. Like, yeah. Like these kids have these dads that are like, oh, your dad's on TV. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man, I wish you all the luck in the world, and maybe I will come out on my... I think I'm going to have a pass. I don't know if my pass is just going to be for the Saturdays, because I'm doing a thing there on Saturdays.
On Saturday?
Yeah. I'm doing this.
Just spend the night.
Spend the night.
Spend the night there. Just sleep under a trailer or something.
Yeah, no better way to bring in 50 than sleeping by yourself under a trailer. And like, I'm living.
Yeah.
People can go to superfónicos.com. Suelta is the EP. It'll be available wherever it is that you stream and download your music on October 5th. Are you making physical CDs?
We'll have CDs.
Oh, you're going to have them at Waterloo.
Coming soon.
Yeah. Okay.
But we'll definitely have CDs.
Okay. All right, everyone get out there and check it out as soon as... I'm going to put this out the same week it comes out.
Cool.
So, awesome.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Hey, man,
you.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
Nico Sanchez and Eric Bojorquez from the band Superfónicos. Their brand new EP, Suelta, drops this Friday, October 5th. Get out there and get it. You can find them at superfónicos.com. See them Sunday, October 14th at 12:15 p.m. at Austin City Limits Festival. Thursday, October 20th at Empire Control Room. Sunday, October 21st, they will be doing some Formula One stuff. Go to superfónicos.com for all of your Superfónicos needs. I want to thank Eric and Nico for coming by. I really like those guys, man. They are very cool dudes, and I like them a lot. And I'll actually be talking to them on Sunday, October 14th, out at Austin City Limits Fest for the podcast. I'll let you know all about that next week. I'll let you know where it is and stuff. All right. Don't forget to go to superfónicos.com for all of your Superfónicos needs. Their brand new EP, Suelta, drops this Friday, October 5th. Get out there and check it out. And hey, while you're out there checking out Superfónicos, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast everywhere. Everywhere. Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Android Podcasts, Overcast, wherever it is you get your podcast, you'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. All right? Here's some more music from Superfónicos. Let's get down.